From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where an effort to make the MBTA free to ride is gaining traction, with advocates continuing their push and mayoral candidates and elected officials backing the idea. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has been reporting on the free fare idea and joins me now. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Arun.
So it sounds great, but tell us what the actual argument is for making public transit free.
Well, it goes like this. Public transit is a public good, like public libraries or public schools, and everyone benefits. And the idea is, you know, if you could speed up service, have less idle time at stops for buses, there'd be less pollution, and everyone comes out ahead. And then there's the question of equity, social and racial equity. We found here in Boston that passengers in predominantly black neighborhoods wait more than 64 hours a year than in white neighborhoods. So the pandemic has kind of revealed all of these and exposed all of these shortcomings, and now people are saying, let's do something about it.
Now, something of this has already happened in a limited way, right? Some transit agencies in Massachusetts have already eliminated certain fares, right?
Oh, yeah. Just recently, Brockton eliminated, made free fares on weekend buses during the summer. Worcester, which is the second largest city in New England, has been doing it for a year. They were using federal bailout money from the pandemic. They made their buses free. And then over here in Lawrence, just north of Boston, it started just before COVID, about 2 years ago. The city took about a little less than $250,000 to make three bus routes fare free. And it turns out they found out that 90% of the people taking the buses, these three lines, were earning $20,000 a year or less. So it's a matter of, kind of economic equity. I spoke with Carol Aquino. She was on one of the bus lines when we met.
I usually get the monthly pass, but I mean, it's great not having to pay for it. It saves me money that I can do other things. You know, with everything going on, it was a great help now that I have to come out of my pocket to pay for it.
So, sounds like it's worked nicely in other places. What about here in Boston, though? I mean, the prospect of scrapping fares for the MBTA, it's a different animal. What kind of options are there on the table?
Oh, yeah, we don't have just buses. We have subways, we have ferries, we have express buses. So it's a large system, But what it turns out, Arun, that local buses in the MBTA system, Greater Boston, takes in about $30 million a year. That's just 5% of the total fares collected across the system. So people are saying, well, look, if we just found $30 million, we can make the buses free. And then in some places in the state, 70% of the money that's collected in fares goes to collecting fares. And here in Boston, they want to institute a $1 billion automated fare collection system. And people are saying, well, we'll just use that money to make the buses free. And let's start with the buses and go from there.
Huh. So obviously this is not going to happen without people in power making it happen. Do we have a sense of where the people in positions of power, where they stand on this?
Oh, yeah. It's been a grassroots groundswell here. I mean, every single one of the mayoral candidates backs a free fare in some form or the other across the system, just buses, so on. And when we have, our Congresswoman Presley and Senator Markey here in Massachusetts, and they've introduced a federal bill that would grant localities money to help them make the transition to free fares. It's a $5 billion grants program.
And what about the MBTA itself? I mean, institutions don't often like to embrace radical change. Where does the T stand on this?
The T says, look, we need every penny we can get. We're running deficits. We got to go back to the state for money every year. And we need the money to upgrade services so to make this, the service good, that people want to ride it. I spoke to a guy named David Bragdon. He's executive director of an organization called Transit Center, actually there in New York. And he's an advocate for public transit. But, he says, there's no such thing as a free ride.
Every other industrialized country in the world has better transit than the United States does. And the way they have achieved that is the tried and true fundamental way of providing really abundant, good transit.
So, Bruce, you know, that kind of makes you think about the bigger picture, you know, not looking at other countries, but the rest of our country. You know, how does this compare with things nationwide?
Well, actually, there are places where there is free transit, at least as pilot programs. There's one in Raleigh, North Carolina. Kansas City has been rolling their program out for quite a while now. And Los Angeles is just about to start next month a two-year pilot program for buses and trains free to students. And then come January 2022, it's going to go be free for low-income riders.
Bruce, this is fascinating and I think something we're all interested in. Thanks for walking us through this.
You're very welcome, Arun.
That's WBUR's Bruce Gellerman. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. Provincetown officials say there have now been 256 positive coronavirus cases tied to the outbreak there. Town manager Alex Morse says most of the cases are in people who are fully vaccinated. He says the majority of people have only had mild symptoms.
We want to continue tracking severity of symptoms among vaccinated and level of hospitalizations. And, you know, until we see or if we see a steep increase in those two indicators, then I think we'd be more concerned.
The town has extended its free testing at the Veterans Memorial Community Center through the end of the month. Provincetown and Nantucket are advising, but not mandating, that people, even vaccinated people, wear masks in indoor public spaces. As the news from Provincetown continues to come out, the state's positive test rate for COVID continues to rise. It's now at a seven-day average of 1.3%. The positive test rate has doubled in the last 10 days. State public health officials say that 457 new cases of the virus were confirmed across Massachusetts yesterday, the highest single-day number in 2 months. The local COVID spike comes amid a national surge, driven primarily by the highly contagious Delta variant. So it's with a renewed sense of urgency that public health officials and community leaders in Massachusetts are trying to increase vaccine coverage in communities with low vaccination rates. In Mattapan, the Boston neighborhood with the lowest rate in the city, local leaders held a public meeting to come up with solutions. Data from the city of Boston show that while roughly 45.5% of Mattapan residents have had at least one shot, less than 40% of black residents in the neighborhood have been vaccinated. Former State Senator Diane Wilkerson with the Black Boston COVID-19 Coalition says that discrepancy needs to be addressed through more nuanced, targeted outreach.
We have to respect the fact that the messages that work for the overall population, that work for the Latino population, don't necessarily work for the black residents, and even further, the messages that may work for black residents may not work for folk from the islands.
Wilkerson says outreach workers should go block by block, knocking on doors to contact people who may not be reachable by other means. Now, turning to the mayor's race, Boston City Councilor and mayoral candidate Andrea Campbell is criticizing acting mayor Kim Janey for sitting on a report about how the Boston Police Department handled former police union boss Patrick Rose, who's accused of sexually abusing multiple children. Campbell is also renewing her call for a federal investigation into the BPD. The city's new Office of Police Accountability and Transparency, or OPAT, was established this past spring, with Janey promising to release a report on Rose within 45 days. Campbell says 45 days have now come and gone.
The administration and the acting mayor is saying they cannot release that report because OPAT has not been set up. And I've said, in plain words, that's absolutely absurd.
Rose, the former police officer in question, is being held in custody while criminal charges are pending. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. If you and your kids are looking for a new adventure this fall, listen to the Molly of Denali podcast. This new 8-part story is based on the hit PBS Kids show. This season, ride a mystery train with Molly and Trini as they solve the case of a missing jewel necklace. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite player.